Craig Shimoda pulls up to meet me in his dusty blue station wagon. I hop in, and we drive for about a mile from the main road. He's taking me to see the Pahoa Japanese Cemetery.
A lot of people don't know this is here.
It is hidden.
Because you can't see it from the road.
One of his duties as the president of the Pahoa Nikkei Jinkai is to maintain the dozens of graves of Japanese Issei who first immigrated to the rural town as plantation workers. One of them was my great-grandfather, but we'll come back to that later. Craig and I turn onto a dirt road and drive past a metal gate.
It's beautiful out here. I come out with a friend of mine, and we've been doing some maintenance work out here. And whenever you come out here, it's so peaceful.
The cemetery is made up of more than 250 graves, many of them marked as unknown. The tombstones that remain are worn, some dating back as early as 1905. Craig says people have already started to collect tombstones, worrying the lava will take their graves. Others have come to say goodbye to their ancestors for what they fear may be the last time. One of them is Roy Sato.
I was born in Pahoa in 1937, and I went to Pahoa High School, and I've lived here all my life. My mom and dad and sister and brother is in this tombstone here.
Roy now lives in Curtistown, the next village over. Prompted by the lava, he's come back to Pahoa to spend the day cleaning his family grave. He sits down to light incense and places a handful of bright red anthuriums in a vase.
Well, that's why I'm here to take a picture of the tombstone, because I know because once it's covered, it's gone forever.
Roy's also in town to see his sister and niece, who still live in Pahoa. He plans to walk down the main road and visit some of his favorite spots, the Akebono Theater, his old school.
What Pahoa means to me is, you know, we were born here, and to see Pahoa go under the lava is really sad. But, like, you can't fight Mother Nature, I guess.
It's sad for people that have lived here their whole lives and have to start over.
Yeah.
But
people are coming out. And
yeah.
Sort of saying goodbye almost.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's, I think that's what it is.
As we head back to his car, Craig pulls out two framed maps from his trunk, detailing the burial plots at the cemetery. The maps are intricately drawn by hand on old parchment paper. Each grave is marked with a number that corresponds to a list of names.
Yeah, this is the one, Yoshiwa Kiyoshi.
That's Uncle Johnny's brother.
Over here. We found someone.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
My uncle.
That's my Aunt Edith and my mom, Annie. They're along for the ride to visit the town of Pahoa, where my grandpa is from. Kiyoshi Yoshiwa, the name on the map, is his brother.
Maybe look for a site. Oh, it's way back
up
there.
Up here, yeah.
Okay. We'll go look for...
Yoshiwa?
Yoshiwa? Yeah.
Yeah, Kiyoshi.
Yeah, this is number 84.
This one.
Kiyoshi was only a baby when he passed away. His twin brother, Uncle Johnny, lived in Pahoa most of his adult life. My aunt used to joke, at age 70, he was probably the oldest bag boy at Pahoa Cash and Carry. Our family roots in Pahoa started with my great-grandparents, who moved to the Big Island from Hiroshima. Like many young people at the time, my grandfather Eichi dropped out of school in the sixth grade to help raise money for the family, working in the sugarcane fields in Pune. As I walk through the main road with my mom, family memories are everywhere. There's the window Gramps used to sneak into at the Akebono Theater, or the time he and his friend got lost in an old lava tube and the whole village went to look for them. Part of the reason my family came back to visit Pahoa is to make sure those memories aren't forgotten.
You know, if that's wiped out, your family history is gone, because your memories are wrapped up in these physical things, like the school, like objects you keep. And when you don't have those, you kind of lose something. Even though you can remember, you know, it's really a loss.
That's why this trip is personal. There's a real purpose to coming back.
Because without those things, you kind of lose that thread. You know, memories are kind of unreliable. And as you get older, you know, they fade. And I think that's why people go back, because they want to see those things. They want to touch those things. When that's gone, I think you really lose a lot. You lose your history.
History that many, including my family, want to visit while it's still there. Molly Solomon for HPR News.